Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 306, stanzas 3 and 4. On whom but God can we rely? The Lord our God, who reigns on high, who condescends to see and know the things of heaven and earth below, the things of heaven and earth below. 306, stanzas 3 and 4.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, there of chapter 17, the first 19 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 17, the first 19 verses. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, the creator of each and every one of us and the provider and the sustainer of this whole world, but also the redeemer and the savior of thy church, we attempt to draw nigh unto thee in this afternoon hour. It is thy holy day. And for a second time, the doors of thy house may go open, and we and our children are privileged to enter therein, to gather round thy holy word. It is an everlasting testimony, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall not pass away. Everything in it shall be brought to pass. It is being accomplished and shall be accomplished even unto the end. Lord, we look unto Thee in this afternoon hour, for that word Thou sayest is quick and powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And then we must experience it to be so. And there are those who are able to make such a testimony. Here is the place. There is the time that the Lord spoke in that word. That He brought it home unto me, that it became quick and powerful also unto me. O Lord, Thou knowest all of us. We by nature are careless. We are dead in sins and in trespasses. We have an historical faith. We have maybe even a temporal faith. But we have no true saving faith until Thou dost come and plant it in our hearts. Then we shall begin for the first time in our life to believe in Thee, in Thy existence, in Thy greatness, in Thy majesty, in the truth of Thy word. Then Thy commandment shall be brought home unto us. Then Thy law that shall become alive, and we shall die. Oh, we ask it of Thee, O Lord. We have just sung it together. On whom but God can we rely? The Lord our God who reigns on high, who condescends to see and know the things in heaven and earth below. O Lord, then Thou wilt Thou condescend also to know us and our children, and to look upon us in this hour round about Thy holy word. Wilt Thou give Thy Spirit unto us, that it may bring that word home unto us, and that we may receive that life that we cannot give unto ourselves. Oh, we look, O Lord, unto Thee in these moments, in this hour. Remember each and every one of Thy own church. For though Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant shall be saved. And that remnant is small. We have read it together. 10 men they called all on Thee, that Thou wouldst heal their leprosy. But in only one man was found that true saving faith. Oh, he was a stranger. He was a Samaritan. Oh, is that not now our greatest difficulty? That we have rights, that we are placing ourselves on the inside, and we need to be placed on the outside. Who, O Lord, can, and who, O Lord, will? For we are not slayers of ourselves, but we are upholders of ourselves, skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. And yet Thou sayest, if a man will save his life, he shall lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake, even he shall save it. Oh, that Thou wouldst come then, and wilt Thou do that soul-saving work that cuts us off through Thy law and makes us a Samaritan, and unworthy of the least of all Thy notice or attention, that it may become the greatest wonder unto us, that the Lord from heaven above did condescend to see and to know this man. O Lord, wilt Thou give that in this hour that thy Spirit may do for us what will be spoken about through the rest of our life and would be sung about to that never-ending eternity. That in this hour, thy name may be magnified and glorified. That all our sin, O Lord, could be taken away. Oh, do wash us and cleanse us, and do look upon us in and through thy dear and only begotten and most beloved Son. Oh, that thou may see us in and through him, that thou may look upon us to do for us that great work, that thou may give us also as a seed that may serve him. That we and our children, that our mouths may go open in true gratitude to glorify and to magnify thee by moments already, by beginnings here below, and that eternity may be filled with thy praises. Oh, that we, that it may not be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment then for us who have heard that word our whole life and who have not obeyed it. O Lord, call us then, and not only with that outward and external calling, but wilt thou call us with that inward and that most powerful work of thy Holy Spirit. Stop us, O Lord, on our mad career. Turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Save us, and we shall be saved. Solve thou the riddles of thy people, for thou knowest it is thy own remnant. But the warfare must be fought here below, and it is through much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of heaven. But thou art able in a moment to take away all of the many fears and all of the many concerns that are living in the heart by a little grain of true saving faith. Oh, that thou may remember them in this hour, and that thou wouldst feed the souls of those who have been made alive. For they cannot live except they eat and except they drink. O Lord, wilt thou give then in this afternoon a little of thy flesh and a little of that blood, that they may eat the flesh of the Son of Man and that they may drink his blood, and that they may feel something of that blessed nourishment that comes from heaven. O Lord, that thou may remember us also in that regard, that we may receive that food from heaven, that we may be able to give it out unto this people. Oh, it grows unto a multitude, for thou dost bless us, and thou givest children in the midst continually, and thou givest that we may prosper in an outward way. O Lord, we may acknowledge thee therefore, but wilt thou also give that fathers, mothers, and children may be born in that school of grace, and that thou may instruct out of that most holy word. Wilt thou give the ability also, that we may in thy time expand this, the place of thy dwelling, here below. O Lord, thou knowest all our needs. Wilt thou bless us? And wilt thou open also the hearts that may give for this cause? And that thou may remember us, that thy word and that thy house may be that sanctuary that not only we may come up unto, but where we may meet thee Sabbath after Sabbath day. Wilt thou remember all those that have special needs? Oh, there are those that have lost loved ones in the week that have gone by. Shootings, fires. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all the misery. Thou knowest all the grief. Thou knowest all the sorrow. In one moment, then our life that can become so different to lose a father, mother, a child, a loved one. Oh, uphold them in all of these ways, and wilt thou cause also all of these things to bring us back again as nations and as people to thy word and to thy sanctuary. We may acknowledge thee, that we may yet live in a land of peace and prosperity and plenty. Also in this day when we do commemorate a day of a liberty, O Lord, that thou may remember us in the future, and that thou may keep and give us still to dwell in such a land. But wilt thou give that true humility of heart that may bring us to thy footstool as a land and as people? Remember thereto our government, that thou may give men who may truly fear thy name and bring us back to thy word and to all of thy testimonies. Lord, that thou may look upon all those that have needs which they cannot share with others, those that have hidden crosses and do bear them alone, or that they may feel that they are not alone, that thou art near unto them. And all those that are weak, that are sickly in mind and body, the old aged in the nursing home, and those that cannot gather in thy house each Sabbath day, and that are bound unto their homes and that may listen by church telephone, wilt thou give that it may be a little sanctuary unto them? Lord, wilt thou go before us then? Remember us this hour. Help us. Strengthen us in mind and body to stand and to bring thy word, and that thou thyself may feed us, forgiving all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 446, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Out of the depth of sadness, O Lord, I cry to thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now thine ear to me. And what follows in 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 446, and the last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund. beloved congregation, Paul has written to the Corinthians that what hast thou that thou didst not receive? John the Baptist, he wrote that a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Thus, everything that we have received. And all that we have received from above. You will say it is the fruit of the labors of our hands. That is true. Because Solomon says, the labor of a diligent man that maketh rich. But that labor that is only the second cause of the riches that we receive. How do we know this? Because if the Lord, who is the first cause of all these gifts, will withhold the blessing, then Haggai says, a man, he earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus it is all a gift from above. Life itself, that is a gift from above. We did not give it to ourselves. We do not uphold ourselves in that gift. Beautiful creation that we may have, boys and girls. The Lord has made that creation to be our habitation. And He gives to us food and drink and all the necessities of our life. Not only the necessities, but also much beyond necessity. That is great prosperity, also liberty, which we may commemorate with the rest of our nation and with other nations of the world in this day. Therefore also our bells, boys and girls, they will also be rung at sunset today in commemoration of that liberty and of what the Lord has given, the gift of that freedom. Solomon, he says, a man's gift maketh room for him. That is so in this life, is it not? When someone gives to us a gift, then there is room made for that person. Room made within our heart. That is so natural. A congregation, do the Lord's gifts also make room for Him? Do they make room for Him in our heart? Then we need eyes to see those gifts. We need a heart to perceive that we have no rights to these gifts. We need to behold that fact that they are all coming from above. And those temporal gifts, they ought to make us to desire spiritual gifts. Why? Because it is through the spiritual gifts that we may return everything again back unto the Lord to whom that it is due. Paul, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, children. Do you covet gifts sometimes? We are not allowed to covet, are we? You look forward sometimes when it is your birthday to a gift. And then if we would say, what is now what would be the best gift? What would you say? Paul says we may covet certain gifts, covet earnestly the best gifts. And that is now the coveting of the apostles that we wish to consider for a moment in the words of our text. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So far, the words of our text. The apostles' desire an increase of faith. Increase our faith. First, an humble request. And second, a reassuring explanation. The apostles desire an increase of faith. First, an humble request. And second, a reassuring explanation. Increase our faith. Who says that? That is not just the common people. No, these are office bearers. Nor are they just common office bearers, as we might call them today, ministers and elders and deacons. But these are the apostles. Those are men who held the highest office in the church of God that ever existed. They were men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, that they may even write in an organic way that holy word of God. These men feel something. What do they feel? They feel a lack. They lack something. Do we lack something too? Do you feel a lack? Do we feel a lack as office bearers? Do you feel a lack as teachers? Do you feel a lack as parents? As organist, as custodian, or wherever the Lord has placed us in a position in this world, what is now the lack that we feel? You say, I lack knowledge. Maybe you say, I lack gifts. I wish I had more gifts. Moses says, I cannot speak. The Lord would send Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he says, I am a child. The Lord says, say not I am a child, because thou shalt go to whomsoever I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. The apostles, they felt a lack. What did they say? They say, increase our faith. What do they desire? Well, they desire spiritual gifts. Just like Paul, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Thus, they desire those gifts which are spiritual. We receive many temporal gifts. how do we receive temporal gifts? Well, the gift and the means by which we receive that gift, those two things, they must be of the same nature. In order to receive that gift. So Bartimaeus, he said, he cried out unto the Lord for the healing of his eyes. He says, that I may receive my sight. Why? Through our sight, we receive gifts. We may see many, many things. That sight itself is a gift. And everything that we receive through that gift, through that sight, they are all the gifts that are coming from above. We read that the Lord Jesus, he spoke to that deaf man, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And then his ears went opened. And now he may receive through those ears, he may receive all the gifts that come by way of ears. He may not receive sight through those ears, boys and girls. Why? Because the nature has to be the same between the organ that is going to receive it of our body and the thing that is to be received. These things have to agree. They have to be suitable one unto the other. Now, what did the apostles say? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Why? What does a man receive? Through faith. He does not receive what we receive with our eyes, what we receive with our ears. What does a man receive through faith? A man, by faith, he receives spiritual things, spiritual blessings. Thus, the disciples, when they say, Lord, increase our faith, then it is evident what kind of blessings that are living in the heart of those disciples that they are coveting, those best gifts, because faith, that is the hand, that is the eyes, that is the ears of the soul, by which our soul may receive the best gifts, the spiritual gifts from above. And without faith, we may have eyes and ears and a mind to read the Word of God. But without faith, it is impossible for us to receive these gifts. Increase our faith. We say an humble request. Why? Because it is a confession. When they say increase our faith, then they make a confession of their lack of faith. That is just the opposite of what we read the Lord Jesus says that men shall do in that last day when they appear before him, and they shall say unto him that we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name we have cast out devils, we have done many wonderful works. Then they shall make a great profession of their faith. And all of the things that they have done through that faith. Christ says, I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That is why children, Solomon, he says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. With the apostles, the true church of God is experiencing a lack a lack in faith. We heard that with David, did we not? When David was standing before Achish, and David was a man of faith, a man after God's own heart. But when he was standing there before Achish, then David, he could not believe. And later on, then we read the same. When he is surrounded by Saul, then he says, I shall now one day perish at the hand of Saul. Peter, boys and girls, he is on the waves. It is one thing. When Peter, he is standing by the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus speaks of his suffering, and the Lord Jesus, he says that he is going to have to suffer, and they are all going to flee from him. And then Peter says, no, he says, I will never do that. That is one thing. But it is another thing when he comes in the fire. It is another thing when he is standing in that judgment hall, and when the words of the maid are coming. Well, then faith, that is not so easy to come by. It is not so easy to come by when he is on the water and he is sinking in the water. Where is faith then? The Lord, he delivered his people out of the land of Egypt. How many wonders and how great wonders the Lord he has performed for the sake of his people. Then they have seen all those wonders before their eyes that the Lord has done upon Pharaoh, upon all his servants. They were much too strong for the children of Israel. They have experienced it in their own life. And they come to the border of Canaan. And the reports come back. Giants. Giants. Where is faith now? Oh, then they cannot believe. Then they rather believe the 10 spies instead of believing Joshua and Caleb, who said that they ought to trust in the word of the Lord. Faith. No, the lack of faith. We do not say it is good. No, we do not say that it is right. Not at all. But we only say that it is real. It is real. It is true. It is the way that it is in the life of God's people. That reality, the Lord himself acknowledges that lack of faith. The Lord acknowledges this when he gave to his church, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, sacraments. What would be not only for their ears, what may also be before their eyes as symbols and as seals, that they may also have an increase of faith, that they may receive through these things that which may give to them those spiritual gifts. Increase our faith. What is it? It is proof. It is proof that the apostles, they not only have a lack, they not only must confess this lack, but it is proof that they also have no desire that that lack would remain. Because they are here asking the Lord if he would take away this lack in their faith. If we have ever experienced one moment of true saving faith, then we have experienced something that is so very, very blessed. We have experienced something that is so very, very pleasant. Why then would the disciples, the apostles, not ask the Lord if they may experience these things again? Because that faith in exercise, what is it giving a person to experience? Then they may experience that their soul that is forsaking the things of time and sense, which it feels to be but vanity, to be passing away, that their soul that is forsaking those things, even as Ruth in Moab, and that their soul is going out after something else, that is a very pleasant thing. Because faith that gives a soul to overcome all those obstacles, all of those trials, even when Naomi, she is saying unto Ruth, go back unto your people. But what is faith doing? Faith is giving that soul to perceive what is of true value. What is real? What is steadfast? What is eternal? What is the greatest blessing? What is the best gift? Faith. And that faith that is causing and giving the ability of that soul to cast all their burdens. You have burdens? To cast all those burdens before the Lord. Just in that place, in that time where they had nowhere to go, we see that woman, she has an issue of blood, 12 years, suffered many things, many physicians, only grew worse. And what is that woman doing? She is coming to cast all that care, all that burden upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. When she may come and lay all this, as it were, at His footstool. And then with hope and with an expectation which has been so completely lost due to her seeking in every other way, and now faith that is looking to the end of the law in order that it may come and that it may touch the hem of the garment of Christ. True faith. We say to experience a moment of that faith is to experience a most blessed thing. That is to experience something which enables your soul to press through every obstacle, that nothing is able to stand in your way. Think of that woman of Canaan. No answer. No answer. You have no answer? No answer yet has brought relief? And what is it that makes her to press on? To keep on? Is it not faith? Is that not a most blessed thing which does not allow her to despair? Is it not faith that allows her to say, truth, Lord? when the Lord says to her that the dogs eat, when she says that the dogs, they eat the crumbs from that fall from the master's table, faith, to allow, to agree to be a dog, and yet to persevere, to come in such a way, true faith. That is to experience a most blessed thing. It rests in God. It casts all upon Him. It comes into agreement with His will. What He does that is good, is that not a most pleasant thing? When it may give peace in your soul, what did David say? He says, carry the ark back. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, He will bring me again and show me both it and His habitation. But if He thus say, I have no delight in thee, here am I. Let him do what seemeth him good. There he may rest. Is that not rest? Is that not rest? Then he fights not against the will of the Lord. Then there is a great calm. In the midst of all his afflictions, by faith. Is it then a wonder to us when a man may experience a moment of faith, and what faith is, what faith does, what faith may take hold of, that strength of that faith, that the disciples, the apostles, they say to the Lord Jesus here, increase our faith. Oh, they wish they experienced their lack, but they desire that it would be different. But at the same time, those apostles, they confess that they are not able to change this. That they are not able to give that faith unto themselves. Therefore, they must ask this of the Lord. They beseech the Lord for it. You hear that, young people. You must always listen, young people, with discernment, to discern the right from the wrong. It's not always easy. But we hear much also in our day of the duty of faith, which does not take into account the reality of the experience of the Church of God. The duty is true. But the reality is also true. What did that father of that lunatic say to the Lord Jesus? He says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Thus we have the confession of that lack and the desire both at the same time. What does Paul say? He says, faith that is a gift of God. That is the experience of the church. In their helplessness, in their unworthiness, in their dependence, not only that they may receive the existence of faith, but also that they may increase in Let us sing. Psalter 415, stanzas 8 and 9. Turn thou unto me in mercy. Have compassion on my soul. I am sore distressed and lonely. Waves of trouble o'er me roll. Myriad woes beset my heart, myriad doubts and bitternesses. Thou, who my deliverer art, bring me out of my distresses. 8 and 9 of Psalter 415.
Thank you.
Our second thought, a reassuring explanation. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What does the Lord say? The Lord says, if only, then that faith may be true. Be that faith ever so small, then that is able to accomplish that which would otherwise be impossible. He uses the example of a sycamine tree. Maybe one was standing there close by. Children, if you would see a tree and its roots there in the ground, to take that tree and to pluck it up by the roots, not to cut it off, say that is easier, but to pluck it up by the roots and take that tree and plant it in the ocean, to plant it in the sea, see, that is impossible. That is right. Much less is it impossible to do it by a word, to just say it, to be plucked up and be planted in the sea. And it will just happen. You say, that is impossible. That is right. Thus the Lord Jesus, he says, that which is impossible can be performed by true faith. Be that faith ever so small, even as one little grain of a mustard seed. Maybe your teacher, children, one day can show to you what a mustard seed looks like. Because I have never seen a seed in my whole life that is so small as a mustard seed. So very, very, very tiny. As just one grain of faith. There is a difference between the state of unbelief and the condition of unbelief. If we are in the state of unbelief, we have no faith at all. No faith at all is not faith which can be increased. Thus many speak, young people, we need to have more faith. It's so common to hear today. We need to have more faith. Well, wait a moment. We need to have faith in the first place before that we can have more faith. But now once that faith is planted, then that faith that is subject to increase and unto decrease. But those with the greatest faith, they are never boasting about that faith. The centurion, the Lord Jesus said of that man, he says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What did that man say of himself? He says, I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. David slew Goliath. Saul says, who art thou? I am the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Did Rahab see the greatness of her faith as it is declared in the word of God when she hid those spies? And when she bound, especially, she bound that scarlet cord in the window. No, then they do not see the greatness of that faith. And yet, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. He says, to do that which is otherwise impossible. What is that thing that the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 declares for him to be impossible? What does he say? He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What was the bitter experience of the Apostle Paul that was the entrenchment of sin? It was a body of death. It was not a sin here and a sin there, no. It was the entrenchment of that sin. It was the impossibility of ridding himself of that sin. That it is rooted as a sycamine tree. Thus, the poverty of that true church of God that is revealed and that is confessed in that warfare with sin. Paul says, it is a law that is in my members. It is not just the exception that is in my members. I am a pretty good person, people say, pretty good person. The Lord will receive me. I'm much better than others. No, Paul says it is a law. It is the rule that my members, they are following. Indeed, he says, the will that is present with me cannot deny that. Can you deny that? But he says, how to perform it? How to perform that which is good? He says, I find not. It is the root that is living in my heart. It is my own soul's existence. And then that warfare that is proving to be that the enemy that is too strong for me, I cannot overcome it. That is now the impossibility. What does now the Lord Jesus say? He says, if ye had faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou removed, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Oh, for a little of that faith, as a grain of mustard seed, who would not long that they may have just a grain, the smallest grain of this faith. A little faith that may behold the cross of Christ, not only with a historical faith, but that may see him with the faith which is saving. Paul says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. not the deliverance. Is that your experience? Why, the law is the knowledge of sin, but not the deliverance from sin. That is the bitter experience of those who have entered into that warfare. But what does he say on the other hand? He says, by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Oh, a little grain of that true faith, and the soul can leap for joy. When it may only see the prospect that that tree could be uprooted and that it could be taken out, that it could be planted in the sea, root and branch. There are moments that the people have it. They have it already by a true faith. Because what does the apostle say? He says, we are saved by hope. We are saved by hope. And that hope that will never make ashamed. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. One moment's revelation of the blessed Son of God in our life. And there's a hope. A hope is born in our soul. It is a hope that is born that I can be forgiven. Forgiven, that is one part. But also delivered. Delivered from it. That tree that could be uprooted. And when that hope is born, then a soul experiences something that is very, very pleasant. Why? What does David say? He says, my sin is covered. It is covered. That congregation is very, very pleasant. Is that not, children? When you may feel something of your innocence in a particular matter, with an accusation maybe, you say, I am not guilty. I am innocent. That is a very pleasant thing. And now when the Lord is opening something by revealing to our soul, not only in the Word, but He needs to be shown to me through the lattice that I may see Him. And then I see it as possible. Or then I see it as possible that tree that can be taken up even by its roots. And when he is revealed, and what is yet lacking in the life of that people, they say, oh Lord, now I need the application. Now I need to see not only the possibility, but now that it may be also applied to my own heart. What do they have a desire for? Oh, they have a desire for the increase of that faith. That they may proceed in it. That the Lord would appear to them again. that the Lord, he may go from step to step. In heaven, they will not need that faith anymore. Because there, all that faith and everything that faith receives, because faith receives blessings, the gifts from the Lord. But in heaven, they will not need that anymore. Because then faith that will be exchanged for a beholding. But here below, there is nothing that people, they delight more in than to receive those spiritual gifts when they are continually pursued by the law of God. And when they may receive a little token by just one little grain of true saving faith, or a grain of faith to behold his cross. A grain of faith to hear his voice that is speaking him who did drink the cup that was given to him of his Father. A grain of faith that may hear him say, "It is finished." A grain of faith that I may feel something of the suitability of all of his mediatorial work for my own soul, and to feel something, to experience something of that favor of the Lord. Oh no, young people, never think that true church of God, that remnant of the Lord, never think that they are gloating, that they are basking in their unbelief. It is a false accusation. That unbelief, that is a matter of reality. That unbelief, that is a matter of grief to that true people of the Lord. And in the heart of that people, there is a cry here with the apostles, "Lord, increase our faith, or will you not seek?" True saving faith, that you may know that faith by experience, or ask for a little grain of it. A little grain of it. Ask the Lord, "O Lord, I have children." You may say, "Lord, I ask from thee something very, very small." Not great things, but I ask of thee, Lord, something that you can hardly see. If you put it on the palm of your hand, so small. O Lord, could I have from thee a gift? A gift. The best gift I'm allowed to covet it earnestly. Best gifts. And if I could just have a little grain of that true saving faith, because therein is happiness, therein is rest, therein is peace that passes all understanding. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou grant it unto us? It is so simple, Lord, for thee. And thou sayest that it is so small. It is yet to us so great. Wilt thou look on us and our children? Give us to covet it with all our heart as the best gift. Wilt thou bring us safely home? Help each one in the labors of our hands in the week to come. Give meditation and thoughts upon thee. And that thou may give new life from the dead. That thou may give instruction out of thy word. That thou may glorify thy own name. Help us in our meeting as a consistory. Help us in instructing catechism confession classes. And each one, fathers and mothers, in all the work of our hands. Keep us from cleaving to all that is passing away. And wilt thou bless thy word this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. 381, 1, 2, and 4. With grateful heart my thanks I bring. Before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place and praise thee for thy truth and grace. For truth and grace together shine in thy most holy word divine. In thy most holy word divine. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 381.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.